What a joy to be here tonight. I like the old-time religion, amen. Hope you all had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday yesterday with several visitors, and it was just a blessed day there at Parker. And we're going to sing about the Rock of Ages tonight.
Reminds me of a story that I heard many years ago. It was about a young doctor, and he's just beginning his practice. And a patient came in to see him, and the doctor said, "Well, what's your problem? And tell me how you're feeling." And the patient explained to him that he hadn't been feeling well, and he just really all nervous all the time, upset stomach, and I don't know, everything. And the young doctor was a little bit puzzled. And he said, "Excuse me just a minute." He went back into his inner office where he had his books. He got out some of his medical books and looked them over and shook his head and came back out and said, "Tell me about your problem once again." And the patient did the same thing, told him what was hurting and so forth and so on. And the doctor said, "Well, excuse me just a minute." And he went back into his office, got out his books and read them up, and came back out and was shaking his head. He said, "Have you ever had this before?" And the patient said, "Yes." The doctor said, "Well, you've got it again." So you've got me again, and I hope I'm not a disappointment to you. But I don't want God to be disappointed in me. Which reminds me of another story. I'm like Brother Tom Wallace now. And this one is, well, I don't know. I think about the preachers that are going to be following me. And if you've seen the lineup, you know that we're having preachers here this week, the fundamental preachers that are the who's who of fundamental preachers in our day. And some of them are presidents of college, and some of them have churches, and we have missionaries and evangelists. And I'll tell you, when I begin to think about those preachers that are going to follow me, it reminds me of a story I heard about two cows. And they were grazing in the pasture, and the milk truck came by. And on the side of the milk truck were the words printed, pasteurized, modified, homogenized, fortified with vitamins A, B, C, and D. And the cows looked at each other and said, makes you feel inadequate, doesn't it? And so I feel inadequate tonight to stand here and preach to you, but I'm going to do the best I can, and I do have a message. And I'm going to read for my text from Romans, the first chapter, verses 14 through 17, where the Apostle Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And the Apostle Paul, he didn't say that he was going to do the job that Moses did. The Apostle Paul didn't say, I'm going to do the job that Abraham did. He didn't say, I'm going to do the job that Isaiah did. The Apostle Paul said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, this meeting has been advertised for the years over as a boot camp. And we used to have some of the soldier gear up here and the boot camp, and it reminded me of when I was in boot camp. And preachers have to go through a boot camp. All of them, these that will follow me, they went through a boot camp. Paul the Apostle went through a boot camp. You just don't start out preaching here in Revival Fires. You go through a boot camp. And I went through a boot camp in the Marine Corps. And train ride from Little Rock, Arkansas to San Diego, California is a long, long, long trip. And all filled with military, Marines in this case, going to San Diego to a boot camp. And there in that boot camp, they began to tell us the things that they wanted us to know. And some of the fellows had been there a day or two. When we walked into the boot camp, they cried out, you be sorry! You be sorry! I didn't understand what they meant until I'd been there a day or two. And I was sorry! I was sorry. Well, the first thing the Marines taught you was this. You belong to the Marine Corps. You belong to the United States Marine, and they made it sure that you knew that you belong to the Marine Corps. Christian, did you know you belong to God? There are believers that don't know that. And if they know it, they're not living like it. The Word of God says, know ye not? Near the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What if you don't do that? You'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. Because there's a judgment seat waiting for everyone that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can fool around and play Christian if you want to, but my dear friend, you're going to face God. And I didn't want to face the ones in charge in the Marine Corps because I knew what it meant. They said, it'll be the roughest ride you ever had if we have to come somewhere and pull you out of the streets drunk there in San Diego. You'll be sorry! And so I say this to you that are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your body belongs to the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you defile it, God says, I'll destroy it. It's that simple. And so boot camp. You have to go through boot camp. And we thank God for those who have gone through boot camp. You don't go through boot camp by saying, I'm going to be a John R. Rice. And you don't go through boot camp and say, I'm going to be Jack Hiles. I'm going to be Dennis Corll. I'm going to be a Terry Angel. You go through boot camp and say, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the Word of God. So, that brings me to the title of my message. And I got this title of my message from Steve Davis. Steve Davis was the All-American quarterback, University of Oklahoma. Now, I'm not an Oklahoma Sooner football fan. I'm an Arkansas Razorback football fan. And remember there in Baton Rouge where I was preaching down for Brother Buchanan, and I preached on the message on I talked with God today. And I met so many wonderful, important people. And I talked about meeting the football coach at University of Arkansas. And we had a good time together, Ken Hatfield. And Ken Hatfield's an outspoken Christian. And I met him there in the stadium. And I said, are you Ken Hatfield? He said, yes, I'm Ken Hatfield. And I said, well, coach, I love you. And I said, I don't love you because you're a football coach or because you're a great player. I love you because you're an outstanding, outspoken Christian. And he looked at me and said, I've been a Christian longer than I've been a coach and long before. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I brought that in my message. And those folks down in Baton Rouge, they're LSU fans. LSU. And so the next night, I get up. And Brother Terry, they had someone in the balcony up there with that big LSU banner. And they waved that banner at me while I'm trying to preach. I said, I'm going home. I'm going home. But Steve Davis was an All-American Oklahoma football player. And it was at a banquet. My son Donnie was there and Mark, another one of my boys. They played football there, and they're having a banquet. So I went to the banquet, and Steve Davis got up, and he said, I was not large enough to be the quarterback of the University of Oklahoma. He said, I was not fast enough to be the quarterback of the University of Oklahoma. He said, I was too slow. He said, my arm was not strong enough to be the quarterback at the University of Oklahoma. But he said, I made it, and I'm an All-American. And the reason I did, I went with what I had. And my message is, you have to go with what you got. And when you do that, God will bless you. God will bless you. And He doesn't have to have a whole lot to bless you, because if He did, many of us wouldn't make it. We just went with what we had. And some of the sentences that I'll say are not grammatically correct, but you go with what you got. And thank God. And the preachers that will be following me, they started out not as a president of the college, not as a pastor of a wonderful church, but they started out and went with what they had. And so that's my message tonight. Go with what you got. Well, when I think about going with what you got, I'm going to, I don't have time, of course, to give all the writings of the Old Testament, the New Testament, with people that went with what they had. So I'm just going to pick out a couple, and then out of the Old Testament, and a couple maybe out of the New Testament, and then a couple out of life today that went with what they had. Did you ever hear of that shepherd boy by the name of David back in the Old Testament? I remember Eddie Martin asked me one time, he said, "Brother Jack, what kind of message do you preach?" I said, "Well, I like to preach messages that people are familiar with and know about, and that God can touch their heart with it." And we all, is there anybody here that hadn't heard the story of David and Goliath? Anybody here that hadn't heard that story? Everybody's heard that story. Everybody knows what David went. You know what he did? He went with what he had. And he didn't have a whole lot when he went. But he was obedient to God. And he trusted in God. He believed in God. And he said, "I'll go with what I've got." What do you got, David? You're going to face that giant, what, almost 9 feet tall? What do you got, David? Well, he said, "I got this slingshot and five stones." You mean you're going to face the giant with a slingshot and five stones? David said, "That's exactly what I'm going to do. But I've got something that giant don't have, and I've got the power of God upon me. And with God's help, I'll go with what I've got, and I'll slay that giant." And thank God for the preachers that we know that went with what they had. And what a blessing it was to see how God will bless. God will take those little things we have. And we all know, we all are aware that some have more than others when it comes to going with what you've got. I'm amazed at the brain power of some that you and I know about, and how God has used them in wonderful ways and have given us the books that we have in our library, and has given us all of the things that God has shown them. And thank God for them. But we don't all have those things. But all of us have something. And all of us ought to go with what we've got. David said, "I'll go." Well, you know, when you do that, you're going to have criticism. You're going to have folks say, "You'll never make it. You'll never make it." I remember when God was calling me to preach, I didn't tell anybody. I was afraid they'd talk me out of it. You know, five children. You got five children. You don't have any religious education, and you mean you're going to step out of your accountant office and just start going? And you have no background at all in things of the Lord, and you're going to go with what you got? I said, "That's exactly what I'm going to do." And look here, preaching here in the Revival Fires Conference in this wonderful church. You know why? Because I went with what I had. And I'm going to have a drink of water too. Either that or a dry message, which you want. I better take this with me. Protect it. You don't need this? Well, my wife wouldn't let me do that.
I went with what I had.
There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elijah, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take him, taken to him my sons to be bondsmen." And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" And she said, "My handmaid hath nothing, or hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad for all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all the vessels, and thou shalt set them aside that they may be full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." One pot of oil is all she had. Folks, if you'll go with what you've got, God will bless you. But so many hold back because they don't have the brain power that others have. They don't have the personality that others have. And I've often wondered why God chose me to be a preacher, because I had nothing to go with, but just that desire that God, the Holy Spirit, put within my heart, and I just got up and went with what I had, and it's been 62 years that I've been preaching the Word of God. Why? Because you were popular? No. Wasn't that. Why? I'm deleting some things here that my wife tells me. "You're good looking." And did I go because I was good looking? Hell no. Did I go because I had such an intellect? Such a vocabulary? No. None of those things. I just went with what I had. And God's blessed me, and I'm so thankful that He has. Go with what you got. Don't hold back. Because Elijah believed, and the widow believed, and both obeyed God, and God blessed in a wonderful way. Well, let's go to the New Testament and see if we can find anything in the New Testament where people just went with what they had. I mean, just got up and left and went with what they had. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did in them, on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth is bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000 and took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, such as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. Can God take a little bit and multiply it and bless so many? Think about it. 5,000 men, and that's not counting the women here, and that's not counting the children. 5,000 men, and 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. We were talking about eating just before the services, and I'll not mention the men that we were talking about. One of them pretty close by, but nonetheless, we were talking about a preacher friend. We were in Kentucky in a home, and someone had us out to eat, and this preacher friend that we all acquainted with was a guest there, not at that time, but in the past, and we began to talk about how much you ate and so forth and so on, and this preacher, everybody would be eating, and it looked like everybody was finished, and he'd clean up everybody. If there's any beans left in the bowl, he said, it'd be all right if I take that, and if there's any potatoes left, he'd take that, and so forth. And so we're going to have you back now, and we're going to have corn on the cob. How many shall I fix for you? And he said, well, if it won't be too much trouble, fix me a dozen ears. A dozen ears of corn. Can you imagine sitting with him and handing him 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes? Well, he'd kick you out. There's no way you could feed him. But God can do wonderful things if you'll go with what you got. You'll go with what you got. Do you think God's working that way today? I know He is. I know He is. And you know He is. And I was thinking, there are folks out here that have experiences that they've had. And they don't have the opportunity to come and tell you like I'm going to tell you of things that have happened in their life. And only God could do what He did. Only God can do what I'm going to tell you about here in the next, in the next 15 or 20 minutes. Only God could do that. Only God. When a young man, he was just a boy, in Cambodia. And he was born in 1965. And that was when the communists were getting ready to take over the Cambodian country. Not 1965, but 10 years later, maybe. And this young man, this boy, had a dad and a mother. And he had brothers and sisters. And his story is amazing. You wouldn't believe it. You won't believe it. But it's true. 100% true. And this young boy, born in Cambodia, and he had to go through so many horrible things. He had to go through the killer fields. You've heard of the killer fields in Cambodia where the communists came in. And he had to go through all of that. And his dad was starved to death. Gorillas came and took his dad away. And the mother, she cooked children and kept them together and the best she could. And the war was going, and the war began to rage. And the communists told the Cambodian people that the Americans were going to come and bomb Cambodia because the North Koreans were operating inside the Cambodian borders. And the Americans were going to send the iron horses and the flying iron and bomb you. And they're trying to turn the Cambodians against the United States and trying to get them to come and accept communism. But this was going on while this young man that God was going to use was in that. And he had to struggle trying to help his family, trying the best he could to help his family. And I'm going to skip over several years and then come back to this. But this young man joined my church years ago. And I used to preach on how poor we were in the Depression days. And we were poor in the Depression days. And I can remember never bought a new pair of shoes. I never had a new pair of shoes. I used to go to the dime store and get soles, you know, and you'd glue those on. And they'd come loose, and I can remember going down the halls and in school, and those soles come loose and flapping as you walk along. And I said, we were poor. And this young man, who was he was a young man, but he wasn't a boy, in my church, he said, Pastor, you don't know what being poor is. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I had to work in the rice fields for 12 to 14 hours a day when I was a 10-year-old boy. And he said, you know what my pay was? I said, no. He said, a bowl of rice soup. That was my pay, working 12 to 14 hours a day as a 10-year-old boy in the rice fields in Cambodia under the communistic rule and reign. And then they began to starve the people. And I'll not tell you what they had to eat because it'd make you sick at your stomach. And he had to go, and he had to walk through the minefields and try to get his family together. And they had them in camps and here and there. And it was a terrible, terrible, terrible time. And so this young man, he just kept trusting in God. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but he kept trusting in God to bring him through. And some miraculous way, through the Catholic organization, he was they wanted to get in the orphanage over in Cambodia because they had heard that they were adopting people out of these camps to take them to the United States, and he was adopted or brought to the United States. He was 16 years old when he came to the United States. He did not know the language. He did not know the culture at all at 16 years old. He had a first grade education, but you know what he did? And I'm going to tell you the glorious part here in a little bit. You know what he did? He went with what he had. And when you'll go with what you had, looking to God for help, He'll not fail you. And God's speaking to your heart. God's speaking to your heart about what He wants you to do. And you say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can go with what you have. And if you'll be obedient and trust God and let Him lead you, my dear friend, He'll use you and bless you. And so this young man, 16 years old, came to the United States, and he was determined to make something of himself. And when he came, he got in school, and he studied, and he worked, and he went to dental school, University of Oklahoma, and became an outstanding student, and he had awards there in the University of Oklahoma, and he graduated with high honors and as a dentist. And this young man started a practice, and my friend today, He has a world-class dental clinic that you wouldn't believe. We go there. It's in Owosso, Oklahoma. Not only does he have a world-class dental clinic, but he has a ranch, you know, Owosso. It's not a Texas-sized ranch. 20 acres, I believe, something like that. And 50 head of Black Angus cattle. Boy, they worked in the rice field for a bowl of rice soup and come here without an education and come here and go to school and study. Why? He wanted to make something out of himself and he went with what he had. No, you haven't heard the last of it yet. Boy, I've got another story to tell here, and I'm not going to be able to, but this one's a wonderful one. You think God brought him out of Cambodia, out of the rice fields, through the jungles and the mine fields that he had to go through and what he had to eat? I'll just tell you one thing. Snakes. Snakes had to go out at night and find where the snakes were and reach in, pull them out of their hole and cut their head off and take them home, eat them. In order to keep alive. Did God have bring him through all of that in order that he might be a great dentist? And he is one of the greatest in the country. No. You see, God's interested in widows and orphans in Cambodia. And God laid it upon this dentist's heart to start working in Cambodia. I've been in his office when he called me and asked me to come into his inner office and tears running down his cheek. He said, I believe God's calling me to go to Cambodia. And he called me pastor. I was his pastor, I think, about 4 years. But that's been many years ago. And he said, I think God's calling me pastor to be there. I'm going to put my house up. He got a beautiful home. I'm going to put my house up for sale. I'm going to sell my practice. Tears running down his cheeks. And he'd go to Cambodia. And he's met the leaders in Cambodia now. They want him to come to Cambodia. And he's searching God's will for his life. Searching God's will for his life. And he came and he said, no, that's not what God wants me to do. God wants me to do a different thing. And he said, I'm going to help the missionaries over here and over there to start churches. He said, Cambodia's closing doors. But he said, you can start a house church and help the widows. And God's interested in helping the widows. Because we just read, you know, where Elijah helped this widow. God loves the widows. God loves the orphans. By the way, God loves you too. And you ought to go with what you got. You ought to go with what you got. And so the last that I have here is a book, A Return to the Killing Fields, by Dr. Hang Lim. And he wrote this book. And you know why he wrote this book? He told me, he said, I'm going to sell 1 million of these, and I'm going to use the profits to build house churches in Cambodia. I'm going to use all the profits of this book to go and work and help the people there and help the local pastors there in Cambodia. And that's why God brought him through the minefields. And that's why God brought him to America. And that's why God had him have an education in order that he could go back to Cambodia and go and be a blessing. And God has blessed him and will bless him. And thank God he's here tonight. Brother Hang Lim, would you please stand? And you folks meet this young man, because he is... And he went with what he had. And God used him in a wonderful and mighty way. And he loves God. And let's see, what did he say here in his book? If I can read it here, I don't know whether I can read this or not. I can with my glasses. I hate to let you know that I have to wear glasses. I'm only 91 years old. What I do? It's because of not enough light. That's right. After more than 20 years in America, that's not what I wanted to read. But I'll read that. After more than 20 years in America, Dr. Lim returned to Cambodia to spread the gospel and to make a difference in the lives of the Cambodian people. Hang writes, yeah, there it is. Our goal is to evangelize and disciple the Cambodian people for Jesus by partnering with the house church pastors. Together, we will reach the lost by proclaiming the gospel. We will disciple the believers through building relationships and Bible teaching. We will help the sick and assist with the poor. But most of all, we will love them like Jesus would. And that's His goal, and I believe by the grace of God, He'll sell 1 million books and go to Cambodia with them. Why? Because He goes with what He's got. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I have a few more minutes here, about 6 minutes. I think I can get a story across here. Some of you have loved ones that you haven't witnessed to. You haven't witnessed to them. And you've held back. And you're timid about it. Go with what you've got. Go with what you've got. My brother-in-law, I hadn't been saved a month. I didn't know how to win souls. I didn't know how to talk to them. But I'd heard the preacher preach, and he was preaching about how you're going to celebrate the birth of Christ on the dance floor in the arms of another man's wife. It was Christmas time. They was having their Christmas parties. And this is the First Baptist Church, Fort Smith, 1,600-seat auditorium. And he was preaching about how you're going to do it. How can you celebrate the birth of Christ with a cocktail glass in your hand? And, you know, in this First Baptist Church, and I thought, he's got the wrong message. I didn't know Christians did things like that. I thought when you got saved, you quit all of that. You quit your dancing. You quit your movie going. You quit your drinking. You quit your gambling. My brother, he talked to us like we was a bunch of sinners. So I told my wife, we're going to go talk to my brother-in-law. So I went to his house, and I was trying to win him to the Lord. Didn't know how. And I said, you're afraid to go hear that preacher. He said, I am not. I said, you are too. I said, you are too. He said, I am not. He's loud, louder than I am. And I said, you are too. I said, I'll dare you to go 4 times. He said, I'll take that dare. And he turned white as a sheet. My father-in-law was a drunkard. I never known him to be sober on a weekend. He came to my house. And I didn't been saved 2 or 3 weeks. He said, Jack, can Jesus do for me what He did for you? I said, He sure can. And I'm going to pick it up in the morning, and I'll pick you up with me. I said, I'll be ready. I parked the car, got him, and parked the car in between the educational building and the church auditorium and brought him right in this front door. I didn't want him way back there where backsliders sit. Whoa. Scratch that. Delete that. Set them right here. They just followed me just like this. They wouldn't look left or right. That's right. I'll set them right down here, girls, where you girls are. Right there. Preacher preach. And my brother-in-law said, Jack, you had us so close to the front. Every time the preacher reached out to make a point, I could shook hands with him. That's how close we were. And I said, well, that's where I want them. I picked them up that night. On the way home, Ed said, I'll go all 4 times today if I can, Jack. I'm miserable. I said, no, you can only go twice. And Earl, my father-in-law, said, I'm not going back. Ed said, yes, you are. You're going back. I promised Jack I'd go 4 times. I'm going back. You're going with us. Ed became a soul worm before he ever got saved. So I brought him in the door right here. Right here. Brought him in here. You know how Baptists are. They're looking at you when you're coming in. They wouldn't look either way. Set him in right here. I wanted them to hear the preacher. I knew the preacher wasn't going to give a book review. I knew he wasn't going to tell them how beautiful the mountains are in Arkansas. I knew he was going to preach the Word of God. And he preached. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what are you going to do about your baptism? You see, I was born 1923, but I hadn't been born again. At 12 years old, I joined the church and was what they call baptism. But you're not spiritually baptized till you've been born again. And so the Holy Spirit said, what are you going to do about your baptism? I said, I'm going to do the right thing. I got up and started to the preacher, and here come Ed right after me. Here come Earl, both of them just following me right along, just like that. Just like that. Bless God, they got on the knees right here. And Thel Smith was working with Ed, and he said, son, sir, do you realize you're a sinner? Ed was still mad. He said, what do you think I'm doing down here on my knees before 1,600 people if I don't know I'm a sinner? Both of them are in heaven tonight. You know why? I went with what I had. Why don't you do the same thing? Why don't you do the same thing? I'm finished.
Amen. Thank you, preacher.
Thank you. God bless you.
Wonderful. Appreciate it. Amen. I wish I could get some of those homiletic students at college to preach with this kind of fire.
Amen.
19 years old. And don't have the fire, the energy of a 91-year-old man. Something's burning in his heart, isn't it? Thank you, Brother Thompson. You know, it's an effort. You talk to the folks that get older. It's tough to just move and get around, but man, time they put in to come here from Oklahoma City and be in this meeting, it just means so much to us. Thank you for coming. Amen. A great message stirred our hearts. Appreciate it so very, very much. And Dr. Lynn is here, and he has some of those books over in that building. I hope that you'll be able to get one tonight or tomorrow sometime.